Ka iau tētahi pukapuka, Panguru and the City, kāinga tahi, kāinga rua. Ko rāta Melissa Matutina Williams te kaituhi, nāna ngā whārangi o te pukapuka nei i whakakī ki te kōrero. Kei runga tēnei o tātou i te waia kōrero, no reira kia huri atu au ki te whakatau mai i a Melissa, kia kōrero reroa i māua, mō tēnei pukapuka, Panguru and the City, kāinga tahi, kāinga rua. Melissa, I'm so pleased we've been able to have some time with you before the launching of your book. Tēnā koe, kia ora, good morning.
Kia ora, good morning to you, and thank you for inviting me on. It was fantastic.
Oh, I think this is awesome. I got the book in hand about 3, 4, 5, maybe 7 days ago, and I'm just thrilled you're able to join us this morning, Melissa. Are you Panguru and the City, an urban migration history? I've actually been talking to my listeners throughout the week about my recollections of this urban shift and our moving down to Auckland from Ngāti Hine in the 60s. Is this what brought the book to your mind about writing about that particular history in your life and the life of Panguru and other urban homes?
My mum. Mm-hmm. Moved from, she was one of those who moved to Auckland City. So that's where my connection is. I'm a daughter mm-hmm. of somebody who had moved from home up in Whakarapa to Auckland City. And so that had always been a part of my life, that she had, I was born and raised in Auckland. And I knew that there was always another home because for her there was another home, if you know what I mean. So I guess the book comes out of that and that I'm a part of this history, although I'm not the one who actually made that migration to Auckland. It's a big part of many of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter where we're from in Aotearoa, we have a part in this history. So yes, in a way, that's where my I've always been really interested in the way the history had been written about Māori moving to the cities. And it's the way it is written isn't. I had never felt that it reflected my whānau and my community's story and how we were experiencing life. So that's why I was always a bit of an inquisitive child as well with my nana. So that's how I kind of ended up writing this. It was always an important part of my life, and I really wanted to untangle and hear from the perspective of our kaumātua and kuien who did move from Pangaru to hear, well, what was it like? Why did you do it? That's where this history comes from. It's personal and it's our community and it's our kaumātua and kuia.
Kia ora. Melissa, just before we go any further, would you let our listeners know your roots here and a bit of whakawhanaungatanga?
Okay, yeah. I'm from Pangaru. In the book I talk about Pangaru as communities in North Hokianga who kind of live under the guardianship of the Maunga Pangaru. But my parents, my mother and my grandparents are Peters from Whakarapa. That's my whakapapa into our community here in North Hokianga. And we're, all of our communities around here, we're all close. We share that whakapapa, we share a sense of engagement over a long, long history, a long period of time. So, I was raised up there by my grandmother for a few years in my teenage years. So I had always had that sense of, I kind of belonged in both Whakarapa and Auckland City. So that's where this kind of idea of two home places coexisting at the same time kind of comes in as well. Yeah, so that's where I come from. That's where I'm rooted into this history as well.
This would have been an interesting path for you, gathering the historical kōrero of those that moved. And in the book, in your book that I'm holding in hand, Panguru and the City, Kāinga Tahi, Kāinga Rua, and Urban Migration History, you've gathered up a lot of the history in your hikoi. You've accompanied it with a lot of photos, which I know a lot of whānau are going, it's going to bring back a lot of memories for those who look at the book, Melissa.
I was really happy that my publisher, Bridget Worms Books, she knows how important our the images of our kaumātua and kuia and places are, you know, and I was really rapt that I was able to put in so many images because I think of it in terms of, you know, in the history books at the moment, we're people who are talked about. We don't see these people. We don't know their names. Mm. All we hear about is, you know, the Māori urban migration, and then we get all the statistics. But we're real people. Our kaumātua and kuia are real people. Our tūpuna were real people, and we want to see them, and we want to celebrate them.
Mm.
So, you know, it was so important to me to get as many of our people's faces into this book. And not only that, but also the voices. So, you know, so many interviews with, I think I interviewed 42 people, more than once. So their voices are in there as well, and that's a really important part of the book too, is that it's coming from their, you know, it's their kōrero that makes it special as well. Yeah.
What was the time spent in researching, gathering your kōrero, putting to print for it to be published?
Well, it's been a very, very long journey. It started, I think, back in 2007, 2006, when I started my doctorate at the University of Auckland. So that's when it first started. And I really appreciate the patience of, you know, my kaumātua and kuia, because it has been a long, long time in the making. So once I finished the doctorate, I'm a mum, working mum, so, you know, I had to do work and all other things as well. So the book has taken a bit of time to finally get to this point where, you know, I can actually bring it home and say, yes, it's done. So, yeah, it's been a very long journey. And I think the sad thing is that I've actually lost, you know, some of those who contributed have passed. That's the sad thing for me, is that, you know, they're not here to actually see it. At least their children and their mokos will be able to see them and see their stories as well.
Kāinga tahi, kāinga rua. This is not just going to be a reflection on Panguru. As I mentioned earlier, whilst I was reading as the parts of the book as I was going through it, it made me think back to when we left our papakāinga and went to Auckland. And one part here you write about kāinga hou, a new place to dwell. And gosh, you know, it just throws memories back. So this is not just relevant for Panguru. It is for all of our rural sectors that actually made that migration, Melissa.
Absolutely. Thousands and thousands of Māori all around Aotearoa were engaged in one way or another in this move to the cities. And part of that, regardless of, you know, there's other common themes among our kaumātua and kuia who made this move, you know, the common theme of, you know, of economic necessity.
Yes.
All of these issues, government policies at the time certainly weren't encouraging Māori to stay home.
No.
You know, it became a matter of, well, you have no choice, really. You had to look to the cities. So, and this was happening all around the country.
No.
So, you know, so finding a new home place became, you know, a really important and kind of, you know, it became a strategy in a way to, you know, for the survival of your home place, you know, your kāinga, you had to support each other and make a new home place in other cities, in the cities. So, and that's what they did. And they, the interviewees, you know, the people that I spoke to, clearly showed that, you know, people didn't just move to the cities and you know, just get on with their lives.
Mm.
They gathered, you know, the well, for us in Pangaru especially, you know, the Catholic faith is so strong. So, you know, wanting to have Miha Māori, you know, the building of Tūnga Waka, you know, all of these centres within Auckland, there was a network. You know, everyone knew who lived down a particular street.
That's right.
You know, there's all these little networks that were created to support each other, particular homes. You know, some of our queer were known for, you know, that's the home, she'll look after you, make sure you get
Absolutely.
A good job, you know.
Yes.
So, you know, we had these women within our communities who were there to, you know, take, you know, new ones as they were coming down as part of that support network. So, you know, all of these little things, and it was invisible. So, you know, we had Joan Metch, who was an anthropologist back in the 50s and 60s, you know, she was down there, and a lot of the people couldn't actually see these networks because they're Māori networks. They were in our heads, and, you know, they just couldn't see that, you know, these particular streets were important to Māori. So we had this kind of Māori world existing within Auckland City that only Māori kind of knew about.
Yes.
So, you know, workplaces, for us it was, for our men it was the Auckland Power Board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a huge thing. And all of the men that I spoke to, I've never laughed so much in my life, you know, just as an aside, doing these interviews, because they just loved it.
Mm.
You know, that became part of them, right from the 1950s, right through, you know, that was part of their life. So, you know, these really strong centres of engagement and whanaungatanga within the city, and it wasn't so, you know, so many of our men worked on the power board, but then they engaged with other men who had been migrating to the city as well. So you get this sense of Māori identity and this Māori world developing as well. So, yeah, it's actually fantastic. you know, and that's the thing, is that we don't read about that in our history books. You know, this is part of our world that you know, we hear, you know, I used to hear stories as I was growing up, and I used to be fascinated by it.
Mm.
So I really wanted to know more about, you know, just how dynamic and how it was a real fun world for them. But I'm not saying in the book that everything was easy.
Oh, kia ora.
It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't easy. They had to overcome so many challenges.
They did.
You know, just speaking Māori out on the street, you know. You know, it's all right, you know, because from Pangaru, you know, you wanted to have mass in Māori, you know. But, you know, it wasn't the done thing to go around speaking Māori down the street when you're a teenager going to dances and things like that. So you know, these sorts of challenges that they had to overcome as well. You know, feelings of sending children to school, making sure that they had shoes on and, you know, clean clothes in case, you know, people are judging you as Māori. You know, these other ideas and issues swirling around. So, you know, all of these are challenges that whānau were having to deal with, and I think they did a fantastic job. And that's the thing also that's not in our history books, is that this is an under-acknowledged generation of our people who actually worked really hard and overcame a lot of challenges to make a new home space for our people in Auckland City.
Well, they certainly did overcome a lot of challenges, and there were many, and you mentioned some. The others were, you know, just that being torn away from your papakāinga, from your marae. Through your book, whilst I was in the last few days reading through your book, I've been talking to the listeners, just reflecting about that one part there, about being torn away from the marae and the many hours that from Auckland we travelled back. You know, and the roads those days were not as kind as they are today.
No.
You were on the road a long time, and our vehicle was absolutely not the best. And we spent hours just getting back to the marae, you know?
Yeah.
When we could.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a huge, that was a huge challenge. My Uncle Charlie, he, when I say that, really funny stories, his was one, you know, he knew how to drive, but he wasn't that good with the traffic lights, and he took his mum home. Yeah. And he reckons he was just going through all sorts of lights. He wasn't quite sure where he was going, but he made it home. And it was like, you know, and that's what people did. They tried to get back as much as they could.
Yes,
but even
they
if
did.
They couldn't, they'd talk about home a lot.
Yes,
gathering after church and talking about it, you know, gossiping about, you know, what's happening and who's doing what and who's new from home, who's moved down, and, you know, always trying to generate some sort of connection back home, even if they weren't able to make it back home as much. And it was a two-way street, you know. We had people back home sending kai down, and, you know, one person would come up and go back with a boot full of vegetables or kai moana, you know. So, you know, those connections were still being maintained, but not by all. And I think that's another important thing we need to remember as well, is that not all were able to maintain their connections wanted to.
That's right. There were some that got lost in that new world. And I don't mean lost in as much as they left the old behind, but it was just tougher for some than for some.
Yeah,
And that connection to the homeland or to the papakāinga, to the marae, was almost a survival mechanism for so many. I believe it was for our whānau. But Melissa, this is a real taonga, your pukapuka. As I said earlier on, you didn't have to be from Panguru to have a connection to this book, because you're right, it's about all of the communities that left their kāinga, that left and went to the cities in pursuit of work.
Yeah, they wanted a better life. You know, there was no choice for many.
No, there wasn't.
They had to. And they did work. And luckily, during that period, you know, there was plenty of work around. So,
yes.
You know, people could pick and choose. You know, there's so many different stories that, you know, you quit one job and then in the afternoon you'd have another, you know, going for the big money, and you know, the girls, the women especially, you know, they'd work it out, so they'd be with their mates and getting jobs. So it was a huge, so the economy was a big part of it. And that kind of makes me angry, you know, when I think about what's happening now, because the government was, you know, they were encouraging, if not giving Māori few options, but to move to the city, asking Māori to invest their lives in these cities. And, you know, when the economy in the 1970s started to go downhill, where's the support?
It was almost an abandonment.
Yeah, there was, you know, it was mainly our Māori who were in the job
yeah.
that was went out, you know, became unemployed by the 1980s. So you know, it's to me that part of it makes me quite angry,
yes.
and that even now, you know, these state houses that our people invested their lives in, you know, and the government wonders why, you know. They don't think that the mokopuna should still be living in a house, but that became, you know, almost a papakāinga to some of these
well,
farmers.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
So you know, we've got whānau who have been kind of abandoned in this kind of way with state housing policies now, benefit policies. You know, whānau can't come back because there's no employment still. You know, so kind of caught up in a situation where the dreams and hopes of our kaumātua and kuia of making a better life for their children and for their whānau has been, it just means that there's still challenges, you know, those challenges, economic, political and social.
Right. Absolutely.
Those issues still remain
absolutely.
With us.
Yes, they do indeed.
Yeah,
Melissa, congratulations on this book. It's an absolutely great account of migration history that will touch the minds and hearts of whomever, anyone who reads this, because for me, it just threw me back to our coming away from our home. So, you know, it's a great book. You're looking to launch this book when, Melissa?
Launch is tomorrow at Waipuna Marae.
That's Friday. Tomorrow. No, what's tomorrow? Oh, this is Friday.
It's Friday today. Saturday.
Tomorrow, Saturday the 28th.
That's right. That's
Saturday
right.
the 28th at Waipuna. Waipuna, did you say?
Waipuna Marae. Up at Whakarapa, Pangaru.
Aye.
So, yep, back home, bringing it back and celebrating with many of those that contributed
yes.
to the book. And fantastic, really excited.
It's what time are you looking at the launch?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Saturday the 28th.
Yeah.
At Waipuna Marae Panguru.
Yes.
And
yes.
Melissa, when will the book hit the stores?
I think it hits the stores on Monday.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I think it hits the stores on Monday. And we're actually having another celebration with our whānau who couldn't make it up. You know, some of our people, you know, in wheelchairs and things, that, you know, we're unable to make it. So we're having another little celebration down
in Auckland.
It should be in the bookstores, I think, by Monday.
Excellent. Is this the first book, Melissa?
There are a few little things that I'm interested. I'm interested in... I think the history of our Māori children being taken into care by the state is one that also needs to be researched a bit more. I'm interested in maybe pursuing that as something in the future.
Have you? Is that still a thought, or have you started researching?
It's a very big thought. I think I've been thinking about it for quite a while, but you know, working and everything else, so. So I think that could be the way that I'm going. I'm interested in how the government, how Māori have approached government policies of, you know, taking Māori into care, Māori children into care. Mm. So I think that's an important part of our past that should also be.
Oh, it is indeed. It is indeed. Mm. Melissa, before I let you go, and T, I really appreciated your taking time out this morning. Before I let you go, where is home now, and what's the what do you do?
Home is West Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm living. I'm working at the University of Auckland, lecturing in history at the moment. Home's also up here in Whangarei.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am today. So, yeah, that's where I am in terms of my working life and everyday living life, though, is in West Auckland, which it was another place where so many of our Māori whānau, you know, we know about South Auckland.
Yes, there are a huge collection of our communities are there in the West.
So that's where I'm based at the moment.
Melissa, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you all the very best. I'd love to talk with you again on the next book or anything else that you would find yourself involved in. History is a wonderful thing. It should be known.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's not enough of our history out there.
No, I agree with you.
We need to read about it. We need to see it. We need to hear it. You know, it's an important part of who we are still today. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Tēnā koe, Melissa. Again, thank you so very much for your time. Tomorrow morning, whānau, at 10 a.m., Waipuna Marae, the launching of Panguru and the City, Kāinga Tahi, Kāinga Rua. Melissa, tēnā koe, ngā mihi kia koe, kia ora.
Tēnā koe, thank you.
Kia ora.